wings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I'm putting up here our title for today. God has given us freedom to choose. God has given us freedom to choose. This is quite a profound area to deal with, particularly with regard to preaching and teaching, because man fights for freedom. And our history books are filled with great events, whether it's individual or it's world wars or whatever it would be. There's always that fight, that quest for freedom. In other words, to choose what to do. Well, we've learned, haven't we, that now saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, that man is only free to choose which way to sin and rebel against Almighty God. And if you truly are born again of the Spirit, there is something within you that wants to do the will of God. It's just there. There is something that's placed within you that wants to do his will, because you've encountered through the new birth somebody infinitely greater, stronger, completely and utterly different to us, but we've been profoundly touched by love. And there's something within us that wants to do his will, to please him. And that is the Christian walk. That is our daily walk. And it's also our battle. And the more we find we want to do the will of God, the more we find we battle. And we find that there is so much opposition to wanting to do God's will. And we've all prayed and had good intentions. This time, Lord, it's going to be your will. I'm not going to do that again, only to find that we fall flat on our faces. There's something within us that wants to do the will of God. And thank God he's placed that within us through the new birth. It's how we get there. It's how we achieve it, and so on. And that's why we have the privilege to preach and teach the deeper life, because the deeper life teaching is about doing the will of God. And remember that the will of God is always beyond your reach. It's always impossible to do the will of God in the flesh, in the natural, when you look at it carnally. And that's why the world lives and does what it does. The world, many of them in the world, have tried to attempt to do God's will or to try and follow him. And we have so much religion that expresses that. But unless doing the will of God, the affection, the desire, the faith to do it is placed in the heart, it will never happen, trust me. And this is why we're calling this teaching today, God has given us freedom to choose. You see, God's predestination plan for all things includes man's freedom to choose. And this also includes our actions as well. You see, God has included in his predestination man's freedom to either choose evil or good. You and I had a choice. You and I could have chosen the right path or the wrong path. But something happened that changed all of that. Something miraculous worked in our mind, in our heart, in our thinking, in our actions. And that's why we give him all the praise and all the glory. Because as we go on in this walk, we realize that we are sustained and kept by the Spirit of God. That only God can work that within my mind and heart and affections. Else he is not God. But we equally need to remember also that he doesn't have to do it. It is the grace and mercy of God. You see, God has given us a freedom to choose because he doesn't want us to be like animals or robots. And there is the difference, because we are made and created in his image. But we note also that God also sustains and keeps all that he chooses and calls from the foundation of the world. So he's not only given us that freedom to choose, he's also chosen us from the foundation of the world, and he's also preserving and sustaining and keeping that which he calls and preserves. Isn't that amazing? Else we would all perish, and the powers of darkness would destroy us. And so God is preserving his elect unto himself for his glory. And we equally need to remember that God never lords it over us. Unlike religion or the powers of darkness. What does it say in John 13 and verse 13? John 13 and verse 13. And he says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you so say well, for so I am." And then he goes on, you know, about those who hold positions and whatever to show humility and to serve. And of course, he did that by the washing of the disciples' feet. There is God incarnate in flesh, serving. He's not lording it over the disciples. He didn't even lord it over when he was betrayed to Judas. He didn't say to Judas, "I forbid you to do what you are doing because it's in your heart to betray me." He didn't even say that. And yet he knew what that he was planning to do. He said, you see, he never says, "You will do that." What he says is, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And there's the difference. Because he wants love, his love, which he gives us, to be the motivating force. That is why everything we do is by the love of God. This very meeting today is because of the love of God, and that we love him and we love each other. Otherwise, there is no point. You see, he leaves us perfectly free to choose. In fact, man is so free to choose that man crucified him. Isn't it amazing? And doesn't it expose yet within us where we still try to control, to work, manipulate, to plan? And yet, look at this. See, only God can do this. And why? Because everything that God does is redemptive in nature. Everything by his Spirit, he's working within me in a redemptive way so that we can recognize him immediately. We can recognize his love. We can recognize his voice. We can recognize his leading, his guiding. And because, as I said at the beginning, when he touches our lives, there's something within us to want to do his will. That is where we have a freedom and a choice to allow him to become Lord over our lives. We're allowing all that authority, dominion, and power, which he is, to have its place over me. Why? Because we're now his possession. I don't have a say in it anymore. Whatever God requires or wants of me, he never gets it wrong. And of course, we still battle that one. We still argue that one. But the point is God speaking to you? Has he been speaking to you this week? Has he been requiring something of you or whatever it is? Well, it's because you've asked him. You've surrendered your life to his lordship. You see, so many want Christ as Savior or the Lamb of God or God. But he's also Lord as well, which means master. What does it say in Revelation 4 and verse 11? Revelation 4 and verse 11, it says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." There you are. That is the complete sovereignty of Almighty God. That is the risen Christ seated in the throne of heaven. Everything worshipping and bowing down to him. You see, we have to remember this one, that God didn't choose you or I in his foreknowledge. In other words, that he would see along the corridors of time, the actions that you would take. And so if he sees you're going to take some good actions, then he'll bless and he'll work all around that and so on. There's many who hold to that teaching. But it's wrong. And why is it wrong? Because the Word of God says he chose before the foundation of the world. So he wasn't watching your actions in this life and working round them. No, he chose you and I before creation. You always have been in his heart. You've always been there. There never was a time when you were not. Because God is uncreated, eternal spirit. He always has been. He always will be. There never was a time when he was not. And that is you in the heart of the Father. And you were chosen before the foundation of the world, before any of this even existed. So, and why do I stress that? So that it's by grace and not by works. That's why. You cannot work your way into the kingdom of God. It is by the grace and mercy. And that is even a gift. And this is why God has given us a freedom to choose. And God knows exactly what man is going to choose, whether to follow him or not, but that makes no difference. All have a conscience. All know when it is wrong to sin. There's that built-in conscience, and when you keep suppressing and suppressing that conscience, your mind starts to become seared, reprobate. Read it in Romans chapter 1. What's going on there? Rebellion, all these perversions are the signs of man hardening his heart and not allowing his conscience to teach him and to guide him. That's what's happening. But does that take God by surprise? Not at all. And if God doesn't choose, then no one will get saved, because it's not within us for salvation. God first loved us. So we know that God is working in us both to do his will. And we know that because he's always right. And that's where we have to learn the word of God and be taught. And that's why we also teach theology here. I'm teaching you theology now at the moment, with what you would, well, probably used to get years back in a seminary. I'm not sure what they teach today. But he's working in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. We've received him as Lord. Why? Because we know his ways are right. And how do we know his ways are right? Because we learn the word of God. We learn these scriptures. We learn the ways in which God works with his saints, works with the nation of Israel, works with the church today and the rebellious world. He's teaching us from right to wrong. That's how we know. And so even though we see things that are right and we want to do that, yet we find at times there's that battle in which to do that. The Apostle Paul himself admitted, he said, the things I do, I don't do, and the things I don't do, I shouldn't do, I do. Who can deliver me, O wretched man that I am? But then he goes on to the great chapter in Romans 8, Christ in you, the hope of glory, God's working in you, reconciling to do his will. And that was the hope. Otherwise, the flesh will have its way. But thank God for the cross, which we too take up daily and follow, that deals with that. And the cross is working with all those who are taking it up each day. I can guarantee it. The cross has been working this week in your life, working to death those areas. And what is often this working to death to the self-life, it's so that we can do the will of God. Jesus had to go to the cross to do the will of God. That was his will. And it's the same for us. Because we're going to find the self-life will always want its way. We're selfish beings. It's what sin has done. But God's grace and mercy never gives up on us. And you know, when you finally surrender, and often that surrendering is just you come to the end. You're finished. There's no more fight. There's nothing left. You're completely at the end. You've tried everything and everything has failed. Praise God that is when death takes over and resurrection can come. And the life of the Spirit then will take over. And what is he doing? He's taking over in your weakness. Jesus in the flesh had to come to the end. His weakness of the flesh, he could hold on no more. And he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And that was it. He was able to let go. And that is what he's doing with each of us, so that we come and we let go. And he's given us that freedom to choose. You've got the freedom to choose tomorrow when you wake up and say, I'm not taking that cross up tomorrow. I'm having a day off. We all feel like that. And you've got the freedom to do that. But there's something within you that doesn't want that. There's something within you that wants to fight against that thinking and mentality. And thank God for the power of the new birth. I'm reminded of Paul of Tarsus, his conversion. Let's look at it in Acts 9 and verse 5. Acts 9 and verse 5. Well, actually, we'll take it from verse 3 of Acts 9, verse 3. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Look at what is happening there. Do you see the miracle of redemption? Here's this man, Saul of Tarsus, who's instantly changed from a strong-willed, rebellious Pharisee to a humble man asking what? For God's will. There it is. And that's what's happened to you and I. Lord, what would you have me to do? What is your will? Why? Because he recognized one higher than himself to obey. And that is the key. And that is why God has to show his power and might, which he's doing. You see, it's not natural for us to obey. It's not in us. It's what sin has done in the world. You see, the world, Satan, man, dictatorship, forces for obedience. And do you know why they do that? Because they're trying to break the human spirit. And this is what is now happening in the world. Through the New World Order, through the UN, the World Health, these are all institutes wearing masks. Behind those masks, it is Antichrist. And it's trying to break the human spirit. The world is saying, what's happening? What's going on? Things are of change. There's like a control now that's taking place. That is the Antichrist spirit now coming. And soon he will appear, the man of perdition. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to break the human spirit so that you become a slave to obedience. And that is why they're pushing now AI and all this technology. And soon it will be digital currency. It's all to break the human spirit, to enslave you. And people are blinded to this. A lot of Christendom is blinded to this. And do you know why a lot of people are so blind? Because they have never experienced the freedom that God gives to us to choose. That's why. And when you are touched by this, it's profound. And God never forces us, because he works by love, by mercy, by grace. It's called forgiveness. There's no forgiveness with the devil. And this is why we're seeing now such depravity coming forth, such abominable things. They're trying now to legalize paedophilia. I mean, that is an abomination in the sight of God. And they want to start bringing it into education to as low as 4 years old, teaching them that there are other alternative styles. They can choose whether they want to be a man or a woman. Starting to teach them adult sexual acts. I won't even mention it. They wanted to pass all of this in education. Just like the powers of darkness, to get them when they're young, because they're impressionable. And the world goes on sleeping, pretending, hoping it will all go away. These are just some of the things now that is happening in our world that even 10 years ago, 15 years ago would have been unthinkable. So the question is then, when do we see, when do we become aware of our responsibility of doing the will of God? Knowing that he's given us that freedom to choose. Well, Isaiah gives us a clue to this. Turn me if you will, to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah hears the voice of the Lord and he responds. But God has got to do something with this man. And here in Isaiah 6 and verse 5, he says, "So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." There's this conversion, changed. Just like Paul of Tarsus, just like you and I. We're unclean when he presents himself to us. It causes us to prostrate before him and to unload the sin, the guilt before him. And something rises up to do the will of God. See, only God can do this, brothers and sisters. You know, the level of our Christian growth is revealed by the way I look at obedience. By the way you look at obedience is how you are growing before the Lord. Trust me. And that's why we make much of it in this assembly. It's not a popular topic to teach on today. The very word obey causes people to rise up in anger. But that's ultimately what he wants. That is what pleases our Heavenly Father. And you know you have pleased your Father when you have obeyed, when you've yielded, When you've stopped resisting and fighting, you can feel the pleasure of your Father's heart in that. He lets you know it. Because he's teaching us. He's showing us what pleases him. The very thing that pleases our Heavenly Father above everything else is the hardest thing in the natural we battle with. Doesn't make sense, does it? And yet God calls us in our weakness in which to be made strong. Why? So that it is all for his glory. Because it's not by might, not by power, it's by the Spirit of the living God. Jesus revealed his obedience. I know I've already touched on this, but turn with me, if you will, to John 10 and verse 30. John chapter 10 and verse 30. I and my Father are one. He was showing the key. He was showing the route. He was showing there, that is how I walk. That is how my Father's will be done through me. I and my Father are one. And brothers and sisters, you can put your name there if you are truly born again. I am one with my Father. And nothing will separate me from that oneness and unity. And that is how you will walk. That is how you will overcome. That is how you will become a first fruits unto the Lord. By that very principle. You can put your name there, brothers and sisters, in verse 30. If you believe it. I know I show this often, but in the context of what we're talking about here, I think this is quite applicable to show that in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, we see another key to how the Lord obeyed his Father. And here it says, though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. How did he become perfected? By the things he suffered. The things that are contrary to us. The things that we don't like. The things that we have a problem with. And we all do. They are the things we surrender to God. Because it's within our heart and spirit and nature in which to do it. And this is why in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's showing it. He's showing that through the new birth, we have a heart and desire to do his will. We sing that lovely chorus, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. You are the potter and I am the clay. What is that all about? It's all about desiring, wanting the will of God. We're singing, we're asking to do God's will. And to do God's will, we have to go through sufferings in which to do it. And there is the choice, the freedom. And we've all of us said, Lord, I've had enough. I can't take any more. I've come to the end. Only to find that God's still working and there's still more to do. Because he's going to take us beyond ourself. So whenever you find you've had enough, I can assure you, it's not going to stop there. There's still a bit more to go until death takes over. And then it's resurrection. And that's what happens. And as we close with this, let's also look in John 15. John 15, verses 14 to 17. 14 to 17 of John 15. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So he says, I don't call you a servant, a slave, in other words. He said, I'm calling you my friend. We have friendship. He's revealing something intimate there. He's saying, I don't want you as a slave. I don't want you as a servant. Because you have to do it. That's what they do. They do it, whether they like it or not. He says, I don't call you for that. I haven't saved you for that. I've saved you because you choose to do it. You want to follow me. You want to obey me. And he says, because of that, we can now be friends. And when you become friends, you're able to converse and talk and relate and have a relationship. You don't do that with a servant. A servant has its place. And those who lord it over the servants have their place. But God doesn't call us like that. Quite different. And that is why it's so wrong to lord it over the flock, which a lot of ministers and pastors do in churches. Jesus never did that. They were free to follow him or to leave. He never went running after them. He never tried to control them. Because he says, no longer do I call you servants. Because a servant doesn't know what his master's doing, what his master's heart is, his desire for him. But he says, I've called you to be friends with me. And why does he do that? Because he said, I reveal to you what my Father has made known to you. He said, that's what my Father's will is. You see. He's appealing to our freedom to choose. And that's why it is so important. And that is why when you see dictators who are forcing people to do, to bow down, to become enslaved, that is so contrary to what God has permitted and allowed. And that's why I say pray for democracy, because of this very thing. Because it's all changing, brothers and sisters, rapidly. And it's going to be worked through technology. Yet God is using technology today in which for us to share this meeting today all around the world. But it also can be used in which to control. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. God has given us freedom to choose. If you've truly been touched by Almighty God, then you will want to do his will, to do it his way. are not to fight and resist, but simply yield over to the Spirit. For the Spirit knows how to work in and through our hearts. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus, mighty God. For my people, I would say to thee this day, I have spoken to you. I have spoken to you not as Lord, not as a dictator or a despot, but I've spoken to you today as a friend. And I come to you as a friend. I come to you for that friendship. I've taught you and given you good morals and principles to serve one another as I served you. Do not lord it over one another. Do not control one another. Do not think that you know your brother or sister's destiny and future. You do not. I, the Lord, know. And I lead and guide each one of you by my Spirit and also this church. Love one another and serve one another. Let the love of God and the grace of God be shed abroad in your hearts. Let this world know that you walk with me as my friend and also as my disciples. I force none of you, says the Lord. You are here today because you wanted to be here. And my love drew each of you. Do not hold back, says the Lord, but let your hearts be open, that I may touch you in the crevices of your heart. For I know each one of you. I knew you before the world was created. You have always been there, says the Lord. There never was a time when you were not. I've only created this world and time for you. But I'm raising you above all of these things, so that you know you are seated with me in heavenly places, says the Lord. I've empowered you in these last days, so that you can take that authority over the enemy and the powers of darkness as my Spirit leads. I have given the keys to the kingdom. I am revealing to you in these last days what you war against. But I have overcome the world. I have overcome all of these things. And you too overcome as well. For you are with me, seated in heavenly places, above power, principality, dominion, says the Lord. Do not listen anymore to the devil's lies and deceptions. For I've given you my Spirit, and I've given you my word, and I've given you my servants who will help and encourage and build you in the faith. Do not be despondent, for the Lord has not left. He is with you, and he will guide you. And he will be with you through every circumstances. Whatever you go through, nothing will separate from the love of God. And it is my love that I have shared with you in your heart. Savor these things, says the Lord. Think upon these things. Listen to what I am saying to each of you. For I am drawing you home, and your redemption is drawing near. And the Spirit says, look up, look up, look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Look away from this world, says the Lord, and look to your Lord and Saviour, for you will soon be with him in eternity, and we will be together forever, says the Lord.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.